Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Positively minded life means you've got to feel fairly good in your own mind and fairly good in communication with other people. Today I want to talk about the stealth saboteur. Yes, the stealth saboteur. Isn't that a nice phrase? I like it. The stealth saboteur, what is it that is hidden, that destroys our own well-being and our relationship with other people? The stealth saboteur, my friends, is hidden anger. Yes, hidden anger is the thing that kind of sits around and lays around, and it's everywhere, and it touches you in so many ways, but you can't see it sometimes. Imagine you're a shopkeeper, and you have somebody who comes to your store all the time. And they come to your store, and suddenly they start going to the store across the street. Right? We have a situation like that. There are two little grocery stores next to our office. So I'm sure some people go to grocery store number one, Linda, and they go across the street to Shul, the other person, right? And these are these two spots, and you favor one person. Now, Linda, who looks out the window every day, sees her customers, and sometimes, every now and then, one of her customers will not go to Linda anymore, but he'll go to the other store and start going. What does Linda say to herself? Does she say, my customer switched? My customer no longer comes here? What's happened to my customer? Well, it's happened to so many of you. So many of you have had people who depend on you and no longer come to you. Let's say you're a physician and you extend yourself to a patient. And you find out from some other doctor that the patient has gone elsewhere. What do you say to yourself? Do you say to yourself, I guess the other person lived closer? You know, nowadays it's managed care physicians, which is kind of an interesting thing. You gotta have, a lot of people have primary care physicians. And what you do is you go to your primary care physician, that's gonna be your main gatekeeper, and you've gotta pick one who's gonna keep the gates for you. And then that one is going to make recommendations for you. But if you want to switch from one to another, all you have to do is call your insurance company. You don't ever face the doctor. You call the insurance company, say, I'm switching. And the next thing the doctor gets is a notice that you've switched. Now, luckily, since it's managed health care, they don't care because, you know, they're not physicians anymore. They just run a little factory. And in their little factory, 100 patients, more or less, doesn't make a difference. You know, one less person coming in, one more person coming in, $10 copay, it doesn't seem to matter. Unless you're a sensitive type. Then you say to yourself, what happened to my patient? Why did my patient see me and then switch and not see me anymore? Why did that person who was my friend, right, this is if, say, it's just one of your friends, why'd my friend stop calling me? Why did I stop getting invited to things? The stealth saboteur is at work. Hidden anger. You see, the reason that people don't go to that grocery store anymore is because they got angry at Linda and her store for something that happened. Maybe they got the wrong sandwich. Maybe their delivery boy was a little too sharp in the way he delivered. I remember one time a guy came up and he said, $1 tip. That's not enough of a tip. Right? He said, we get $2 tips. You know, enough reason you could get customers angry so we'd get angry and you wouldn't even know why. In any service industry, clients could get angry at you and you never know why. There's no feedback loop. So you have to investigate to find out. But if you're flooded with a big volume, you don't bother. You figure, oh, just let it go. Because underneath it all, most people do not want to hear why people get angry at them. They'd rather they just went away. the stealth saboteur. Yes, it is hidden anger, anger that is not expressed, that winds up becoming the most destructive to our lives. Why do people have relationships outside of their relationships? Stealth saboteur at work. Why do guys stay out all night drinking with their buddies instead of going home? Why? Because they're angry. They're angry with their wives. Wives get angry with their husbands. So one would imagine that the anger that somebody feels towards a provider, towards an insurance company, towards even a radio station, people get angry at WBAI. They'll listen to something, and we'll say something against, you know, something, some kind of statement that indicates that we are prejudiced against parakeets or something. You know, or we favor one kind of parakeet over another parakeet. Like, we never talk about the red parakeets and the green parakeets. We do talk about just the green ones. Somebody sits and they get angry. And they say, I heard what he said about red parakeets. And they never tune us in again. They'll shut the program off. If I offend you, you could turn off that switch and never turn it on again. Not only will you not listen to the positive mind, but you may not listen to WBAI ever again. Why? Because you're angry. Now, you won't know it's because you're angry. You'll think it's just, you're just saying to yourself, it's not as good programming, but it's really because you're angry. Think about how many doctors you have not gone back to see. Think about psychotherapists. How many of you have been to many psychotherapists? And if you think, I mean, many people come to me after seeing many psychotherapists, and I'll interview them, and they'll tell me about their past therapists, and I'll say, so what did that therapist do to make you angry? And they'll say, oh, nothing. And I'll say, come on, what did they do to make you angry? And then they'll tell me, well, the therapist said I should leave my husband. The therapist said I was wasting my time. The therapist said, and it always turns out that the reason a person leaves therapy before they get what they want out of it, it's because they're angry at the therapist. Angry at your doctors. Angry at your therapist. Angry at your grocery store people. Angry at your insurance provider. Angry at your stockbroker. Angry at the guy who sells you gasoline. You can get angry at a car attendant and never go back for business. Call it anger? It is anger. So here comes a question. Do you want to live your life with the stealth saboteur? Do you want to live your life with this hidden anger controlling it? It controls you, and it controls other people, too. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM, we're talking about hidden anger. And we're talking about how hidden anger can become the stealth saboteur, the thing that will actually wind up hovering around and destroying many parts of your life. Most relationships are destroyed by hidden anger. So here's something you would ask. Why aren't people honest with me? I wish people would just tell me when they get angry. Wouldn't you say that? Don't you wish everybody who ever got mad at you told you why they were angry? Wouldn't it be nice? Instead of walking away, instead of doing business elsewhere, every relationship you ever had, you go out with somebody for the first time, they get mad at you. They don't stop calling you. They tell you why they're angry. Wouldn't that be nice? Your son, your daughter, they don't ignore you. They tell you why they're angry. Your husband tells you every time he feels angry towards you. Now, I'm not talking about rage, and I'm not talking about screaming at you. I'm talking about just telling you, you know, this thing that you did offended me, and I got angry. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that in your life? Total feedback. Total feedback from every human that you know who feels committed to telling you when they are upset with you. What a relief it would be. You wouldn't have to guess anymore. Are they mad at me? You wouldn't have to lose people. They won't gossip about you. You know, gossip is all about the stealth saboteur. Gossip is all about hidden anger. I get angry at you, I tell Joe instead. I want to hurt you somehow. So the big question would be, why is it that people do not tell me when they're angry with me? So now you can take one of two approaches to that. You can say, they're cowards. They don't tell me why they're angry with me because they're too afraid to confront me. And you could blame them. Or you could look at yourself. Today, I want to help you look at what it is in you that stops you from encouraging people to bring you the truth. What is it about you? What is it about you that stops people from telling you what they really feel? You're going to say, nothing, I welcome the truth. Well, I tell you, no, you don't. Because if you did welcome the truth, you'd welcome the truth. People would be telling you the truth. Maybe you crumble. Somebody tells you they're angry with you and you break into tears. You fall down. You hit your head with a knife. You punch yourself. You know, you cry. So if you crumble, people don't want to tell you they're angry with you because they're afraid you're going to crumble. You could overreact. You could overreact by getting angry back. I know a lot of people who always say they want to hear people tell them when they get angry. But as soon as you tell them they get angry, they yell back at you. You know, I was angry with you. I was angry with you. Why are you angry at me? Don't blame me. And you get defensive. You talk a mile a minute. You wind up being so defensive that the person will regret ever having mentioned it. I'm sorry I mentioned it. I called up a store one day. The place nearby, he had delivered some food. And it had some bad stuff in the food. So I called him up and I said, you know, you had some bad stuff in the food. Guy gets on the phone. It's impossible, he said. Our food is so fresh. I said, look, the only reason I'm telling you is we're not going to order from you from anymore. But I thought I'd give you a chance because you got a business right next door to me. It's impossible. You guys probably put it in there because you don't want to pay for it. I said, listen, fella, we paid for it. I'm going to let you go. Can I speak to your manager? Spoke to the manager, and I said to the manager, we found some unwanted things in our food. Didn't expect it. Extra protein. And he said, oh, my gosh. He said, that's possible. He said, we wash our lettuce so hard. We do our salads so well. He said, I really deeply appreciate your telephone call. He said, we'll provide you with free food today. He said, and in the future, if anything like this ever happens again, because I could promise you I'll try not to have it happen, be sure to get right in touch with me. Well, you had my business then. That's a man I want to deal with. Well, you see, that's the way you've got to kind of be with people. You've got to be a welcoming committee with anger. You have to be a welcoming committee. You have to in some way say to them, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to welcome what you have to say. But, of course, it has to be free of abuse. You cannot be defensive. You'd like to show gratitude for them having brought to you something that bothered them about you. Think about this in your own life. How many people have you lost? How many people have you lost and no longer available to you? This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. Our telephone number here today is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls about this, about anger, and how it relates to you. When's the last time anyone you know was telling you that they were angry with you? Is there somebody in your life now who you know is angry with you, but won't talk to you about it? Maybe we could help you with it. 212-209-2900. We'll be taking your calls in just a second. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. We might not be able to take your call yet. All right, we'll be hooking that up. There we are. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I have a problem with a boss that he just refuses to accept reality. In other words, you know, employs the wrong people. And then when we have negative results, tries to blame somebody else on this. And it's just, it's unbearable. I'm ready to quit. Just employs the wrong people. Doesn't have insight in terms of looking at people. And this is an ongoing problem. And I guess it's gotten me so angry that I'm having a hard time even going to work anymore.
Well, that's exactly what happens. Now, your boss won't realize it. Are you there yet?
Yes, yes.
Your boss won't realize it, but she will lose employees like you, and she'll have to select inferior employees because she's not good with people. If she was good with people, you wouldn't feel the way you felt, and the new employees wouldn't be substandard.
You know what it is? She doesn't have, I believe she doesn't have insight into people. She feels that there's a sense of scarcity in terms of good people, and I don't believe that. And I don't think she wants to rock the boat in terms, you know, new employees, you know, don't upset them, and we'll push them out if they don't work out. So it's a revolving door.
Yeah, because she feels there's a scarcity of employees, so she's probably paying a small wage.
Not really. Not really. No, she's paying more than anybody else in the field, but...
But she just doesn't pick well.
No.
Now, how's her relationships with other people? Does she have a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend?
She has a man she's with in a long-term relationship, but the woman's a workaholic. She's well-intentioned. She's got a good heart, but I'm having a horrendous time because I'm a perfectionist in a sense, and I try to do the best job. I'm workaholic and less than, and so this is driving me crazy altogether.
Yeah, it seems like a little too big to be driving you crazy. Let me ask you something. In your life, did you have very sensitive people? Was your mom a very sensitive person?
I think deep down inside she was, but she was chronically depressed.
And how does that affect you as a kid? Must have driven you
crazy.
To
tell you the truth, I really don't remember feeling anything as a kid, really, except scared because she was constantly in hospital, and we got the impression we'd be given away type of thing if we didn't, you know, act right.
You had a very insecure childhood.
I can't say to you that I felt that way, but I guess I did, yes.
See, you lived in an environment that was kind of crazy.
Definitely.
You didn't feel safe as a kid. You don't feel safe now.
No.
You wonder if the two are related.
I'm drawn by people similar. I say, well, here I got another crazy boss.
Okay, so let's try this one for her. You seem to like and respect the person who is your boss now.
I do.
On some level, you like her. Have you spent any time alone with her outside of the job?
Yes.
When's the last time?
A long time ago.
Yeah. Why so long ago?
I'm trying to save myself.
It's the stealth saboteur. See, it's that thing again, that thing that kind of gets up that you're angry and you don't know what to do, so you're going to hide from her. You're going to keep back from her. You're going to keep yourself back. I could hear you're at the edge of quitting your job, and I could hear that this is a person you like and respect. And I would say that probably if you spent some personal time with her, if you went out with her, had dinner with her, and just hung out with her, that she might be much more receptive to hearing what you have to say about her hiring and not hiring.
You know, we've done this on occasion, and then
yep.
It goes right back to square one.
That's right. Of course it does. So it's been too occasional. But you like her. So you make it less occasional.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. What's your name?
Barbara,
thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Bye-bye now.
So sometimes you have to invest in honesty. You know, sometimes if you sense a distance, then you know the honesty is missing. You know that somebody's angry. And you got to take some time. Now, you don't always have to talk about the anger. Sometimes you get together with somebody. I can't tell you how many parents and children I have suggested get together and just do nothing. Go to a movie. Hang out. Keep everybody else out of it. You know how many men there are out there who have not been alone with their son for many, many years because mom's always in the middle somewhere and the wife is in the middle and the kids are in the middle? Go get your son and go fishing, even if you don't fish. Go for a drive. Go for a walk. Go do something you used to do when you were younger. Go to a movie together. Don't talk anything serious. But see what it's like to really be with somebody. Conspire, which is breathe together. Con is with, and spire is breathe. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. You have to turn down the radio all the way.
Hello?
Turn down your radio the whole way.
Okay, it's off. Hello, Armand.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Your name?
Vincent.
Hello, Vincent.
You want to go first or shall I?
No, go ahead. You're calling.
Yeah, about the hidden anger there. I have a fiance and she just up and basically left. I don't know what caused it or, she just pulled up roots and took back to her house. And I haven't seen her. She hasn't been to my place here in almost, 4 weeks or so. And we're on vacation together this week. I can't call her, and I know she's not calling me. And what I was trying to see, we broke up and stuff, and she's asking me, I asked her, I said, is it over? And she said, what do you think? But I don't know. In our mind, this just came up, over the past 3 or 4 weeks. We've been together for 3 years, and it's like, I don't know what to say. And I heard you with this subject here today, the hidden anger. So it's like, I'm trying to get her to tell me, what did I do?
Yeah, and you're just not the kind of person that somebody gets angry with because you're kind of gentle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not the kind of person. When you say, what did I do? It's like you're such a victim. How many times have people told you when they get angry with you?
Oh, countless numbers. And, I'm always looking for an answer because I'll basically, do anything to, ratify the situation.
Well, that's the problem. You see, the problem is when somebody's a rollover dog, when somebody is, you tell somebody you're angry at them and they just roll over immediately, sometimes you don't want to tell them.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to hear information is what you want to do, not do anything about it.
Exactly.
So tell, in other words, to say, hey, look, I know you're angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn from your anger with me.
Gotcha.
I don't necessarily know if I could heal what it is you're angry about, because maybe you're angry at me because I'm blue and you
right.
want me to be green.
Okay, yeah.
But I want to hear what you have to say. Please tell me what you have to say, and then I'll think about it.
Okay, I'm just going to keep on knocking at the door then. And all, like I said, I just leave messages like on our cell phone. I remember one time
doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, yeah. At least I don't, I'd heard you did a show before where people just talk on the cell phone and you say, at least they don't come on, so I can just leave the message there. But she doesn't, return the call.
Uh-huh. And what's her name?
Charlene.
Charlene. I wonder where Charlene is right now. I wonder if she's listening to our program, and she would be able to hear that you want to try it a little different.
Yeah.
So when's the last time you sent her a piece of mail?
Oh, goodness. I haven't. But I just went out today and got some letterhead, some nice letterhead, and just to... send her a letter, for a couple of pieces of things in it there.
Okay, be careful that in your letter,
mm-hmm.
do nothing that would make her feel guilty or responsible.
Exactly. Got
because
that
what you would likely to do is you'd say, poor sacrificial me, all I want is,
mm-hmm.
right? Just say, dear Charlene, I would like to talk to you about some of the behaviors that have taken place between us that have upset us both.
Oh, gotcha. That's good. That's good, Armand.
I would like to talk about my upset with you and your upset with me. And I'd like to start it this way. How can we meet?
Sounds good. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, Armand. Take care.
Thank you, Vincent.
Yes, sir.
212-209-2900. We're talking about hidden anger. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello, dear Armand, Andre. This is Leora.
Hello, Leora.
I'd like to share with you, it came out a little bit in terms of digging into, but my request is, if you can talk about the little Leora, the little Jimmies and the Marys and the little Armands inside ourselves that are walking around with this anger. And it's a hidden anger. It's not a conscious anger. And to know that we have this little boy and girl in us, and it projects itself out, and, you know, it does a whole thing of transference. Could you talk up a little about that and think, well, how is my little Leora? How is my little Armand?
Well, how is your little Leora?
How is my little? Well, I take care of her.
That's right.
I have a little puppet. I have a little doll, and I objectify her. And when I'm hurt, I know it's little Leora, and I take her and I let her cry, and I hold her and I let her speak. And so I kind of do. It's called self-parenting, but I do the crying, and then I tell her, you know, to let me know whatever, and then I feel much better.
A real relationship with yourself.
A real relationship with little Laura.
Yeah, and I'll bet you it's very difficult to get other people to embrace her, huh?
Oh, no, no.
Do you trust other people with little Laura?
That's an excellent psychic question there.
Yeah, would you let anybody else pick her up?
Yeah, she can be picked up, but at first I'm kind of... how can I say it? I kind of check out the trust right. I check it out a little bit. In fact, right now I'm having something new came up 2 weeks ago, and guess what? Someone told the person about me, and a very nice gentleman. And little Leora is really the man is. I feel he's trusting. He's revealing himself, and we both asked each other. We made the request for each of us to tell each other how we feel it regardless.
That's a nice thing.
Yes, it is.
So what about if you showed him little Leora and he only saw it as a doll, so he picked it up by the leg? What would happen inside of you?
He picked it up like...
Let's say he picked it up by the leg, like you pick up a rag doll.
Oh.
Let's say he didn't see this as little Leora, he just saw a doll or a puppet.
What would I do?
You'd say, watch out how you pick up little Leora.
Yeah. In fact, today...
Warn him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Today he did what?
Well, today he called this morning. It's so interesting, and he felt that there was so much going on because he has to take care of himself that maybe we should just, you know, cool it. And it was awesome that I said... he has very much to take care. He's been a caretaker for all these years.
But you see, this is Leora. Here's the point I'm talking about. When a man finally says to you, we should cool it, it means he's angry. It means he's angry, but he can't tell you. He's afraid to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you could give him all the rationale in the world. You could say, oh, yeah, he's been a caretaker all his life. It's important that he's able to create some distance. What he's really saying is he got mad at you about something, but he doesn't know how to tell you.
I see.
So your point is, you say, you know something, I think you got mad at me, but you can't tell me, and I'd like you to tell me what it is, and I'm not even going to respond, I just want to hear what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being so accepting of his distance.
Yeah, well, I was going to honor it.
No, don't honor it.
I see. I thought I would neutralize the conversation at the time, but I...
Now go after it, Leora.
No, I'm going to go. And this is called
put it on the front. Yes, put it on the front burner instead of the back burner.
So you know what? This is called divine providence that I called you.
Perfect. Nice to talk to you. Thank you. We're going to have to take a little break. When we come back, we'll be doing more of this. This is Armand DeMille. Back with you shortly.
Don't tell me to stop. Tell the rain not to drop. Tell me everything I'm not. Don't tell me to stop.
Hi, this is Liz Wright. You're listening to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Thank you.
Mobley with him. Ah, wonderful sound. Louis Hayes on drums. Horace Silver, Senior Blues. Mexicali way. Yeah. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. Senior Blues is actually a good choice of a song. In fact, maybe I'm going to play you the vocal version of it towards the end of the program. I will, because it's about a lover, a romancer, a man who has many ladies. And what happens is that they just get mad at him because he just goes away. But you see, what's that all about? What is womanizing about? Womanizing is about the stealth saboteur. It's about hidden anger. A man who goes from woman after woman after woman, conquest after conquest, just as a woman who goes after man after man after man, conquest. They're angry. They're angry. And that's what it's like. It's all about power. It's all about anger. It's all about trying to find some way to undo the other person. I knew a man who once described to me that the reason he liked to have a lot of ladies, he said he likes nothing more than to bring them all to orgasm. He said, there's nothing I like more than to watch them become completely powerless when they finally give in. So his lovemaking, which seemed like the most tender, exquisite, incredible lovemaking, was all about annihilating them. Yeah. Yep. Men are afraid of women. And they get afraid of them because they need them. They get afraid of them because they have such power. So they get angry. They get angry that the woman has something that the man wants, a prize. And I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about there's so much, the adoration, the affection, the other stuff that they want. And so they get angry because the woman has the power. It's like being a king, you know, and you feel like you're in effect, you need your subjects. Because if you didn't have the subjects, you wouldn't be a king. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. We're talking about hidden anger. Hidden anger among the sexes. Hidden anger everywhere. Hidden anger between parents and children is remarkable. Do you know how many parents are angry at their children because their children decided to be independent? Now, of course, you're a parent and you want your kids to be out there on their own. On one hand, on the other hand, you hate them for it. You don't want them to be. You want them to be dependent. Why didn't you call? What do you mean, why should I call? Why didn't you call? Well, a lot of anger takes place between parent and child, but they're afraid to bring it up because it's irrational. It's unreasonable. So I'm not saying you always have to confront it. Because one thing you have to do is look at your expectations. If you're angry with someone, say to yourself, what am I expecting of this other person? Is it realistic? If what I expect from this other person is expected because it is realistic and it is a promise that we deliver it to each other, then I'll confront them. If you have a boss that's unfair with you, you have an expectation that there's going to be fairness. You should be able to tell your boss what bothers you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. We're going to take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello.
Good afternoon and a beautiful afternoon in New York. And what a topic. I I'm 63. Grandmother, mother of three, a daughter that my father left my mom when I was very young, and a stepfather walked in. And then, of course, my mother adored the guy, and no matter what happened in my home, she ignored it. And I still haven't come to terms as to why, in my mind, she abandoned me. A couple of nights ago, I was thinking, she passed away, and I still have this anger that she never said, I'm sorry for what I did. And yet the woman did everything for me because my father wasn't there. And this part of me that cannot forgive what in my mind is she didn't do her motherly duty. She didn't stand by me as a mother. Now, I had a husband just like the one you just described, a womanizer. After he left with the, 25th person, I decided to stay by myself to protect my children from whatever happened from my past, because I didn't want my past to be repeated on my children. And in a way, I feel myself, I was a good mother. My kids tell me, why did you do that? You deserved the life. Mommy, you're alone. You have so much to give. Why are you still alone? And the reality is I'm afraid to get hurt. And this hurt of mine happened when I was from 7 to 14 or 17. And what I'm asking is an anger that I cannot let go, even though everybody is dead from the past.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we don't let go of anger because it's the only way of holding on to the person from the past. Sometimes we have an anger that's irrational, and we hold on to it from someone who died because we don't want to leave them. Anger is the only attachment you have left. If you weren't angry, they would die. If you weren't angry at your mother, she would kind of pass on. So sometimes you hold on to anger because it's the only feeling you have left.
You know what? I moved into the apartment that she used to live in. I now live in her old apartment.
Yeah, what's it going to take you to get out of there?
I don't know, because I can return to my own old apartment because my daughter's still there. But this is what I'm saying. I am mystified as to one of my anger and my sorrow for so many years. And the other is, like you said before, like you feel like the victim, everything bad happens to me.
Yeah, I know. So what's your name?
Luce,
listen, let's get back to this question. Living in your mother's apartment and being angry with her is going to stop you from going any further.
Mm.
It's time to move on, Luce. When are you going to do that?
Well, the lease will be up in March of next year, and I have begun gathering my stuff and separating it and throwing her stuff away.
All right, so I'm gonna keep this with you for a long time. It doesn't have to do with when the lease is up. It doesn't have to do with rational stuff because you have your own apartment you can move into. But if you're gonna start making it clean for yourself and with your children, it's time to find your own place.
I see.
I know you hear me, Luce.
Yes. It's time to start for me, not for anybody else but for me.
It's your time,
Luce. It's time to start living for me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Thank you kindly for being there.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. So as I said, one of the ways that we hold on to people from the past is through anger. We stay annoyed with them because we don't have any attachment of any other kind left. Sometimes you break up with a boyfriend, and instead of letting him go, you stay mad at him forever. Sometimes you get jealous. You stay mad. You know, you just hang on with this anger all the time. It's just a way of not letting go. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, is that me?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
You.
Yeah, I was kind of curious what you were saying about parents and children. Because sometimes I'm actually working with children, and also I realized during the last phone call, I was thinking more. I realized even when I'm not working with children and there's just sort of antsy, difficult children around, I find myself so angry and not able to say anything. And granted, some of these are employment situations if I'm watching a child, and I see lots of concessions from the parents, and I'm not in a position to really say, listen, I think you're making it harder on your kid. And, you know, maybe they'll be a little critical of me, like, oh, she's bored and try this or try that. And I just feel these kids are very indulged and not kind of given the guidance that they should be kind of.
But you see, the fact that it makes you angry is a very important thing.
Right.
I was with a cab driver the other day, and he happened to be somebody who listens to WBAI. And I could hear he had WBAI, the radio program, on. And he got annoyed at another driver. And I said to him, you can't afford to get annoyed at drivers. If you're somebody who gets angry at other drivers, driving a cab is going to kill you. If you're somebody who gets annoyed at parents for the way they bring up their children, tending their children is going to kill you.
Tending their children. But not always. I've had a lot of mostly great experiences.
Yeah, you know, I think mostly.
Mostly, yeah.
Mostly you got to learn how to forgive those parents.
Ugh. I could forgive them if it didn't impact me.
How does it impact on you?
Oh, because they'll tell me some. They'll do some silly thing that I think is undermining. Like, you know, I get to tell the kid, "Oh, no candy. Candy's only with mommy and daddy." And then, you know, their child complains, and then, oh, they're going to get candy next week, and you know, and whittling away and whittling away. And I'm not a toughie. I know it must sound like a toughie.
Well, you sound like a real soft-hearted person. But I'll tell you, one of the choices you may make in your life is to live an honest life. And to live an honest life, that means you stay in your profession and you're able to go to the parents and say, look, you want me to take care of your kids? If I say no candy, please don't say, and next week you'll have candy, because it undermines me.
And I'm so afraid to do that.
You'll get fewer jobs that way,
but you'll live happier.
You'll live an honest life.
And
what's your name?
Billy.
Billy?
Wilhelmina. And then how do you do it? You know, like, I'm afraid I'm just going to be so, you know, piped up with the, you know, being pissed, that it's going to come out really snotty. What's the trick to saying it? So
there is a way. You know, actually, I have something I wrote called the 9 Ways of Communicating Feelings.
And am I going to have an index card with these 9 ways?
You could really use it. It's called the Steps for Expressing Feelings Towards Someone Else, and I have it.
On your website?
I have it here, and it may be on the website as well. So if you don't see it on the website, which is thepositivemind.com,
I'll give
you a call to my office, and they'll send it to you.
I'll do that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. Willie is her name. Wilhelmina. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille taking another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
I am totally on this. I'm so glad I got through. As a child, my mother seemed to discipline me with, you know, being hit. So I've evolved. I'm 40 years old. I've evolved. I've gotten to the point where I've accepted that. That's fine. It sucked. Didn't hit any of my brothers. I seem to be, like, for instance, forgot a science project. I remember this as a kid. So, like, yesterday. And, I got hit for that. I got hit for that, but I forgot my science project and I couldn't do my project. And I thought, gee, well, and like deep down inside as a kid, I was like, I didn't really do anything that bad. Anyway, long story short, so I get hit as a discipline. I tell you to this day, I have to catch myself with being angry with people. And I think it's because of what you're saying.
Yeah, what'll happen?
What'll happen?
What's the danger? Yeah.
Well, then I push people away.
Yeah. So do you like it better?
And where shouldn't I be? I want to ask my mother, why did you do that? But you see, my mother has this cutting sense of humor where she kind of, she'll say something like, well, it didn't do any good. You know, something like that.
Yeah, I understand.
And it's like, so I guess I'll just have to just kind of keep it as.
Well, not necessarily. You know, you could confront your mother on that. And you could say to your mother, dear mom, I want to talk to you about something. But, you know, sometimes your cutting sense of humor gets in the way of my communication with you. And I really would like, this is what I'm afraid you might say. So please don't go there and let me tell you something, and I want to hear from you, but please don't go to sarcasm.
Okay. And what if she denies it? I never did that.
I never, yeah, and then that's okay. It's okay. Just find your way in.
Okay.
Find your way in. Sometimes when you're afraid of a person's reaction, the best thing to do is to tell them what you're afraid their reaction is, you know, and they won't do it.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Cool.
Sure. Thank you. Another key thing with people is that, you know, remember this phrase, I've said it to you often enough. There's something I seem to be doing that's upsetting you. Would you please tell me what it is so I could stop doing it? A key way when you sense that people are angry at you or expressing anger or being hostile towards you or sarcastic, or when they ignore you or when they tell you, like Leora's guy called and said, we need a break. You know, if somebody says they need a break, if somebody says they're not going to come back, if somebody says I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks and I won't be back for my facial that I usually have every week, you know, if you're really productive, if you're a real person who wants to keep their business going, you stop and you say, did I do something that annoyed you last week? You'd be amazed how many times you could find out from people that you did do something that annoyed them, but they were afraid to confront you. That's why people go from therapist to therapist to therapist. If a therapist was smart enough, the therapist would say to the client, I think there's something I did that must have annoyed you. Could you tell me what it is? But that's no good if the therapist gets defensive. Because if the therapist then goes on to defend them, oh, that's a projection, you're doing that because you had that with your mother. You know, you have that kind of thing, then nobody's ever going to talk to you again. Then they better dump you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi. You're on the air.
What about self-anger? What if you're angry at yourself and you shut down and you stop moving forward? It's almost as if, I don't know if I'm, like I need to look for a job right now, but I feel so overwhelmed by the whole thing. And I feel angry at myself that I'm unemployed. So I don't, here it is near 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I got out of bed a little while ago, and I'm just afraid to move forward.
Sure, that's depression. You're depressed. That's what depression feels like. You know, it's like
this. But you know what? I'm tired in a way of being depressed. I don't want to deal with the depression. I want to deal with the procrastination because
sure, that's part of depression.
I have a friend who is recently unemployed, and he spent something like, I don't know, five or six hours a day on the internet until he got himself some work. And me, I wallow in despair, and I stay with my gears frozen. So,
I understand. Okay, so one of the definitions of depression is a person who wallows in despair and feels highly self-critical, and doesn't feel motivated or lacks the energy to move forward.
And that's, it's not logical.
Right. Of course it's not logical. It's depression. The chemistry has taken over your body. So there are many ways out of it. You know, one way out of it is to seek counseling if you can, or even take medication if you have to. But it is no longer in your control. When you're at the point that you're at, you no longer, it's not a matter of your will. You know, and be kind to yourself.
Depression, yeah, in a way, it's no longer my will, it's my won't.
Now it isn't even your won't.
It is my won't.
No, you would if you could, but you won't because you can't.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know? Thanks for calling in.
All right.
If you need help with it, if you need help with depression, call my office. We'll find you a way, 212-757-4488.
Thanks.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille. Not last night, but the night before, when 24 robbers came knocking at my door as I woke up, and they came in, they asked me what I wanted for a bottle of gin. Any of you recognize that? Spanish dancer, do the high kick, the high kick, the high kick. Spanish dancer, touch the ground, the ground, the ground. Spanish dancer, get out of town. Get out of town. That's what you do. When you skip rope. It's a skip rope song. From 40 years ago, but not last night, but the night before, when 24 robbers came knocking at my door. I'd like to hear, I'm collecting rope songs. So I'd like, if you know of one, send me on the internet to armand@brainlink.com. I want to pay attention to some of those things that the kids are saying when they jump rope. Because I suspect there's some mystical wisdom in there. Hey, this is Armand DeMille. I've been with you. Glad to be with you today. Back tomorrow with Roberta Maria Atti. Go to my new website, thepositivemind.com. Learn what you can. Back with you tomorrow, my friends. Now, here is the vocal version of Senior Blues with Horace Silver. And I think it's Joe Williams. Nice piece of work. Well, I think it's here. There we go. Back with you tomorrow.
California Blues is what they call him. Way down Mexicali way, senoritas falling for him, with the hope that he will stay. By the time that they love him, Senor Blues done gone away. Well, he's tall and good looking, and he always knows just what to say.
So sorry, have to